talk, we bring it to you when they speak at Halas Hall. We know Wednesday's a big day because usually it's when we get the official injury update, the first injury report of the week. They gave us the Monday stuff. We got to look at the film. And then they take Tuesday off, and here they are once again. This is Matt Eberflus in full from today meeting reporters.
Okay, so I had our team meeting this morning and just outlined the keys to victory for this week, and obviously we're just getting started on that. Did the game plan the last couple of days with the coaches and start to implement that game plan for first and second down today with the offense and defense. We got a padded practice today, so it's going to be real physical. Got to be really physical in the kicking game. These guys are really good in the kicking game in terms of their cover teams, so we got to be really good that way. And so to go back a little bit, obviously very proud of Tyreek. And really, I'd say that's a unit, really award for the that particular week, being the NFC Defensive Player of the Week. So he's excellent by him and the whole group. Rome will still be day to day, so I know that will be a question. That's what I have for you right now. And Keenan Allen, his heel, we're going to let him rest up for the day and see where it is tomorrow. So that's where he is going forward. But again, we're excited about Sunday Night Football. Going down to Houston, but it all starts on the grass today with a good Wednesday. So with that, I'll take questions.
Is Rome going to practice or no?
No. No, he will not. He will not practice today. So we're going to, like I said, day to day, he will be out today.
It looks pretty bad. How fortunate
do you feel that it's not bad? Yeah, you know, when you have that type of somebody fall on your leg like that and you have that type of deal, it's always fortunate that it's not that serious. And very lucky that way, very fortunate. So we're blessed that way.
Matt, in seeing the type of season that C.J. Stroud had last year, one of the best that we've ever seen from a rookie quarterback, how do you use that potentially as benchmarks for the type of progress you hope to see from Caleb?
Yeah, I just know, you know, I don't like comparing players because everybody's journey is different, and you know, everybody moves through that their own way. So it's, again, it matters where you finish up at, you know, at the end of the day. But I will say this, that C.J. did have a heck of a year with the yardage and managing the game and the explosive passes. You know, I know he's got some really good guys around him, which is really good to have, with some new additions this year with another receiver and a running back. But excellent year. Again, commend him and the coaches and everybody on that staff.
When you guys studied, I'm sure you studied the Texans last year before drafting the quarterback this year. What did they do to put him in a position to have maybe the greatest season ever by him?
Yeah, I mean, it was coached well. You know, I think he was coached well to stay in the pocket. I think that he naturally keeps his eyes down the field and doesn't look at rush, which happens to a lot of young quarterbacks. So he's able to do that. Like I said, he had a lot of good skill around him. You know, Tank did a heck of a job when he was in there before he got injured. And then Collins is obviously one of the most explosive, you know, best receivers in the league. You know, so, yeah, just about that.
Why weren't you guys able to run the ball more effectively on Sunday night? Had a chance to go through the film, talk to the coaches. What was off there?
Yeah, you can decipher stats and move those things as you know how you want them. But we really feel that we were solid there. I know we had some negative runs, the 19-yard sack, and all those things that take away from the true number. But again, the number is the number, and that's the way I live. But again, I thought the efficiency was solid. Certainly, we've had better efficiency in the past. And we're looking forward to getting that this week.
Coach, when you were heading into this game, you said you wanted to see how Caleb would respond to what happened on Sunday and the days coming after.
Sure.
So what has he been like the last couple of days? And where do you want to see that jump from week one to week two?
He's been really good. Since we watched the plays, you know, him and I watched the plays, you know, on Monday morning, he comes into my office and really good there. It's really good, you know, with the players, you know, owning up to everything and, you know, taking responsibility for performance and and accountability. That's what you need from leaders on the football team, not just him. And then moving forward to coming in this morning and figuring out what we're doing, how we're doing it, you know, and having conversations with him. And I think that he's in a good spot.
Have you ruled out a week-to-week thing? Is that specifically day-to-day, or is he still being evaluated there?
Yeah, like I said, it's day-to-day. it's day to day. So, you know, so it's we're in a good spot. It's nothing serious, and we're in a good spot for it.
You account for the Texans' rush going into Sunday. What impresses you the most about Hunter and Anderson, and then individually and then collectively what they do?
Yeah, all the good rushers, you know, obviously had God-given ability, and both those guys have that. They have their own way of rushing, but what they do is they have a great motor, and they have great power at the top of the rush. You know, so they can level back, they can bull rush. You know, they have their way of getting around the quarterback. They can bull around the edge. And they work well with the defensive tackle next to them. You know, they do a really good job of 4-1. They operate out of a four-man rush, and they do a really good job of working off each other.
What was your evaluation of the offensive line? How did you think they did?
I thought it was solid. I thought it was solid. I think that, you know, obviously we want, you know, better run numbers. You know, I do think they protected solid at times. Again, we saw a couple ones where they didn't. Again, we're working on those things, being more solid and firm in the pocket. But again, it was week one, and the biggest improvement from week one to week two is probably the biggest improvement that you have.
Coach, to that point, you, which are people in the background, know better than most people. Once you see things on tape, do you get a few of the leaks that you saw on the interior offensive line? Defenses are more likely to kind of do things, kind of replicate those leaks. How do you get out in front of, you know, things that you think may come as the defense to try and take advantage of what they saw?
Yeah, you're always working on that, right? You're always working on that. It could be in one of your protection teams. It could be on your offensive line. It could be in your run defense. Whatever that is, you always got to stay ahead of it, you know, and you stay ahead of it with fundamentals first. And then adjusting your scheme. You got to be able to adjust and adapt, you know, during the course of the game, but also certainly week to week, you know, and adjust where you're moving your protection to. And I just think it's part of that. And we're all doing that as coaches in the NFL.
First game results can be somewhat deceptive because of the opponent and first game and stuff. But from your defense, what did you see from your defense beyond just the effort and the aggressiveness? But what did you see from your defense that you feel production-wise is universal, that will be sustainable, that will be kind of a definition of what your defense will do week to week?
I think it's about being consistent. You know, I think we were a little bit off on the run fits to start. In that game, you know, we had to run a 26, I believe, and then 14 yards. So we were a little off on a couple of those. And just being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, and just being physical. And it comes down to what we do on the grass. I always say that, but it's so true. And then being able to adjust in-game, you know, to be able to make sure that you're, if you got an issue, you got to be able to fix it, you know, pretty fast. And that's what I'm most proud of the guys. They were able to adjust, play really good technique in the second half and the end part of that first half. And be able to stop what we needed to stop, and then make big plays down the stretch. I think that was a big part of the game.
What's a good example of an adjustment you made or something you did that really fixed it? Yeah, obviously, you know, after the punt block, things really changed. What's a good example of an adjustment you made defensively?
And I'm talking directly to D'Amico Ryans right now. That's a joke. Yeah. Okay. Seriously, I just think that it comes down to you make your adjustments. You have contingency plans in your game plan that you can go to if something's, you know, the first plan's not going the way you wanted it to. And we just simply went to that. That's all we did.
What's the responsibility, Matt, for being the other corner? So for Tyreek playing with Jalen, an all-pro guy who might not get targeted a lot by quarterbacks, what does that type of load that Tyreek has to shoulder, and obviously it comes with him being Defensive Player of the Week this week, how have you seen him handle that responsibility and rise to that challenge?
Yeah, he loves competition. He's very competitive. He's a very physical corner. And he loves to compete, you know, and you can see that, how fiery he is out on the field. He welcomes that. It gives him joy to be able to go out there and compete. And you can see that every day. I like the way he tackles. I like the way he hits. I like the way he plays. And that's why he's here. He's a guy that loves football. And to me, it's like just an honor to be able to coach him, you know, and work with him. Because I do like that, his inside. He's got a fire that burns hot, and I like that.
What kind of responsibility is that, though, for a player who knows they're going to be targeted a lot more, probably because it's smarter not to target someone like Jalen?
Yeah, I mean, he just, like I said, he's up for the challenge. He likes it. And, you know, again, there's when you're a corner in this league, you get beat sometimes. And it's got to be water off a duck's back and moving on to the next thing. Because the next play, they're going that way, that direction again, so... It's just you got to move on.
Matt, what's your concern? Did you get more snaps in the game? Was that just kind of an oversight? Was that part of the plan?
I've seen him
only less than 50%. So
yeah, yes, oversight, not part of the plan. I don't know about all that. I would say that it's situationally. You know, there's we had 11 personnel where he was in, and then when G was in, So it was the way the rotation happened. You know, certainly do we want to get Cole involved in the game plan more in terms of catches and, you know, point of attack blocking and all those things? Yes. Yes, we do. But, again, we're looking for a formula for success on offense. And, again, that's going to take a little bit of time in terms of distributing the ball to the skill more evenly. And we're working to do that this week.
Matt, what's the concern level with Keenan? I know, I mean, he was a full go on Friday and he tweaked the heel on Sunday. What's your concern level going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just about rest, you know, and then hopefully the rest helps. And again, I can't say it definitively right now, but I know that right now they're telling me, hey, he's going to rest this day. And then we're going to see where he is going to feel tomorrow to be able to do some practice.
For all the questions we have about your pass rush, with Taylor, what enabled him to have a really good
You know about DT?
Specifically.
Yeah, just his get off. I mean, you saw the get off. I mean, he had a really good get off on the ball. That's beating him to the punch. That's, you know, making the offensive tackle panic, you know, and be able to get out of his set. And I think it's what he did, you know. And again, he had the one against the rookie, and I think he had a couple more pressures. You know, D-Walk had four pressures, so we had a lot of good pressures on the quarterback that affected the game. And it certainly, I was impressed by him coming in so fast and be able to work with the other players and know what to do, and then do it fast. And that was most impressive to me.
With the uncertainty with both Rome and Keenan, what's the ripple effect for the receivers this week? And specifically, what's your message to Tyler Scott as he tries to come back from?
Yeah, just opportunity. You know, opportunity. You're looking for an opportunity, a crack in the door, you know, because it's a strong receiving group that we feel that we have this year. And again, we still got to prove it. But I would say that opportunity. You know, when that door opens, man, you take your opportunity and run with it.
All right, Matt Eberflus, there it is. I'll bet you a dollar that regardless of whatever this is, Rome Odunze does not play Sunday.
Mm. Yeah, I did like Rome's day-to-day, a lot of positivity. Not today, though.
Yeah, no,
not today.
I will bet one crisp dollar.
I would not bet against that.
That
I mean,
does not.
Why? I mean, this early,
right?
You have two other competent wide receivers, and we know what DJ Moore can do, even when he doesn't have other stars around him. So yes, the thing that caught my ear was Flus saying solid in the run game, called it efficient. Look, they didn't run a lot, or well. You know, Swift, 10 carries for 30 yards. It's the Herbert thing, though, that I'm very interested in. Khalil Herbert ran the ball 2 times for 4 yards. Velus Jones Jr. got a carry before Khalil Herbert did. This tells me they are way down.
Mm-hmm.
Arrow pointing down for Velus Jones Jr. I mean, Velus. For Khalil Herbert, as far as running back. And I felt that last year, too, towards the end of last year, too. I got the feeling.
Is it because of his hands?
Hmm.
Because we know he can run.
Yeah.
Bad pass blocker.
Yeah.
Not a great pass blocker. And he also, everybody's fast. He gets caught from behind a lot. He's not a home run. He's not DeAndre Swift. You see DeAndre Swift with the ball, it's a little bit different in terms of the running style. Herbert gets caught a lot. Like, I don't know if he's as fast as everybody thinks he is.
The stuff that I wrote down, when you make a joke, don't say that's a joke.
That's a joke.
Flus has been working on it, man.
I know.
He's working on it.
We'll do a basic, just give it a moment. Let the smart people in that room, let them realize it.
That's a joke.
You don't have to say that. We'll realize
it. But maybe the reason it was serious, because I'm in that room all the time, is because Mark Podash probably had the most serious look on. He wanted a damn answer to that question, which he should have known he's not going to get. An adjustment question, Potsy? No.
Right. I'm speaking to D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. But you don't. I think they let the moment sort of sit right there and let everybody realize it. Then there's the uncomfortable chuckle. That's just the comedy advice. But when he said improvement from week one to week two is probably the biggest improvement that you have, isn't that interesting?
Mm, so that should set up some expectation.
Improvement from week one to week two is probably the biggest improvement that you have. Okay, that's out there. And then he said something that was a phrase that was said often in my house that I grew up with. And he was talking about defense, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there.
I could see how that would transfer to life.
That was a foundational watchword of our house. It was very simple.
I was supposed to be here at 9:15 today. I got here at 9:30 today.
Yeah, but you had texted us to tell us, and we said, no worries, all good.
Yes.
But just simply that if defense comes down to that, like I grew up with, just be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be.
Amen. Yeah. So that's what defense is all about. Absolutely.
The difference is with defense, when you're there, you then have to like murder somebody. Which is,
yeah,
you know, that's a different responsibility than just like getting to your work on time, getting to school on time, or fulfilling a commitment. A lot of it is about you signed up for it. You said you were going to do this. Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there.
Maybe I'm projecting, and you could tell me if you caught this too. But one other thing too, I heard Flew say this on CJ Stroud. He was coached well to stay in the pocket, and I don't know if that's just his observation or relative to Justin Fields or even relative to what they're trying to do with Caleb Williams. I mean, we know that Caleb Williams does great work outside of the pocket and when things break down or when they're organized to break down, but that could be part of it too.
That's a good catch.
Yeah.
That's a good catch on your part.
Okay, so you don't think I'm projecting on that because, I mean, it's...
Well, those are his exact words. Coached well to stay in the pocket.
I believe those were the exact words. Yeah. Coached well to stay in the pocket. Talking about CJ Stroud. That's
interesting.
Last year, so was Justin Fields again, which was what everybody wanted at the beginning of last year. Stay in the pocket. And it didn't work.
That's why you're the Bears reporter.
See?
See? Find stuff
Bears.
Like that.
Bears.
Let's hear from Caleb Williams and everything he had to say when we come back on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes.
I'm still stuck, Dan, in trying to figure out exactly what it is we do here. Right? Well, no, that part I've figured it out. What? There's fart jokes and mascots. That's all is going on here.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Fart jokes and mascots.
Middays 10 to 2. On 670 The Score.
The Bears.
Observations coming out of the text line from the Matt Eberflus press conference. The 802 here says, listening to it, I didn't hear a single right. He apparently has transferred that to Bernstein.
I love it. I think it did happen. It's happened. I think there's been three so far today. You've had just as many rights as Caleb Williams had passes batted down. Yep, it's on you.
And I understand what this texter is saying, where... He says that I wish I could see Eberflus while listening to him because I need for him to look smarter for me to find his answers acceptable. Now, he's getting better.
He does look smarter, too. I think the hair.
And I've been made fun of for saying he that was no doubt. That's been one of the most overblown storylines of the entire offseason is that he does look smarter.
And from being there most of the time, not today, Matt Eberflus does, at the beginning of every press conference, he does make small talk with us. There's a hello, how you doing? Sometimes he likes to talk about the weather. I mean, we'll see if if it gets a little more serious as the season goes on, but he has made a point of a little intro.
Really? Doesn't come out like talk, you know, economic policies anything like that.
We've gotten there. You guys like that debate last night, right?
Don't even
watch it there.
Don't even start. I can only imagine. Next on ABC, we go live to the Bears head coach Matt Eberflus for his thoughts on the debate.
I like them both.
Awesome.
They're both good, but right?
That's a joke.
Caleb Williams' turn on the podium. At the lectern, meeting reporters.
Oh, there you go.
How's it going, everybody?
Hey, Caleb, as you went back through Sunday's game, were there any specific throws, any specific plays that jumped out at you as, man, I wish I could have that back or this was off?
Yeah, there's multiple. I pointed out right after the game that it was around, I think I went on the lower end of like four or five. I think it was around six throws that, you know, obviously, we would have hit those. Everything would have seemed a lot different. Throws that, you know, we hit in practice all the time on simple routes, on intermediate, and then, you know, the one or two deep balls. You know, if you hit those, the game, everything kind of explodes. And, you know, things would have been said differently about how we played on offense. We're here getting better. Obviously, it was week one for us. We came out with the win. We're really excited for that, like I said before. And then, just getting back out here, make sure we're focused on the small things, the details, whether it's myself of footwork, drops, things like that, or whether it's the routes, whether it's the run game, hand placements, all these other things when blocking to make sure that, you know, as an offense, we're successful.
Does it feel good to get that first game in out of the way and not kind of focus on what you saw and now what you...
Yeah, definitely. I, you know, going into that game, it was a little weird for me because it's my first game. And we didn't really have anything on the D coordinator. So it was a little weird for me. But when I got out there, you know, I was seeing it well, missed a few passes, obviously, but, you know, going back and watching the film, I was in the right place. When I was throwing the ball, like I said, I had a few also bad balls, but, you know, going to the right places, you know, seeing it well, making some O-line, you know, adjustments and things like that. You know, having good communication on the sideline with my teammates and coaches for adjustments or just, you know, constantly communicating with them. So I think the process, you know, throughout that game was well, whether it was mental or the small things, you know, on the sideline or, like I said, communicating with everybody. I think, you know, that process was well. So that was encouraging to see. And then so waking up, I believe it was Monday or Tuesday morning, you know, you woke up and you realized that, you know, you won your first game in the NFL regardless of how you felt of your performance. You know, we won the first game and, you know, felt super excited. Felt super excited about, you know, not necessarily how I actually performed, but, you know, like I said, being able to come out with that win and being able to help lead these guys to those to that win. And so, you know, feels good, really excited. You know, builds confidence when you come out and do that. And, you know, like I said, we're building on the small things, make sure we get the small things down so we can go dominate and have fun doing it, you know, when we get out there in the field as a team, as a collective. So, yes, felt really good.
From week one to week two, what do you think it would be?
Yeah, I would say the drops. Sometimes I rush my drop a little bit, you know, not needing to. You know, one specific route that that I can think of is Rome when he was, or I think it was a 10-yard route right over the ball, and I rushed my drop and then you know tried to juice it in there a little bit and missed. You know, I didn't need to. Just trying to hurry up and get the ball to him. Getting his hands fast as possible so he can, you know, make magic and do what he does. And so, you know, just making sure, you know, trusting the drop, trusting the reads and things like that, and getting through them. You know, I'd say that's probably the biggest thing that I'm focused on. And then, you know, my finishes on my play fakes or anything like that.
Caleb, the inaccuracy has been something that some of the best quarterbacks in the league have struggled with throughout their rookie year before becoming really good at it.
Yep.
Was there anything you saw Sunday that gives you a confidence that it'll be a quicker fix than that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think having a realization, like I said before, understanding that, you know, it's not throws that I usually miss throughout all the time that I've been playing quarterback and all the practice that, you know, that I've had and you know, with other teams here, Chicago, all these other, you know, things and moments and games and all of that. So, I think that's one. And then, also understanding, it's NFL. They got good players on the other side. They're going to make plays, like a few batted balls that we had, you know, right spot, you know, going to right spot, throwing the right shoulder, all these other things, trying to throw it over back or all these other things that, you know, sometimes a player's going to get his arm up, you know, bat it down. So I think, those, having an understanding of those two things is really important to keep growing and progressing and to not lose faith in, you know, whether it's the, you know, the play, you know, the team, yourself, offense, run, whatever the case may be, you know, keep that confidence and understand that, you know, we obviously didn't play as we wanted to, as well as we wanted to, and we came out 24-17, Chicago Bears win.
What's been the back and forth
on Sunday night, rookie of the year, takes his team to the playoffs? Is that motivation to you, seeing what CJ was able to do last year, and do you take note of that on your own, or is that, I think?
From his side, it's not motivation for me, from him. It's motivation to be able to help the Chicago Bears, you know, win games. You know, win as many games, get to the playoffs and, you know, win games there. So I was trying to do my best day in and day out, mentally and physically, you know, rest, make sure I sleep well, make sure I eat well, make sure, you know, doing all the right things throughout the week, and weeks to lead up to the game to make sure that I'm prepared to the best of my ability for my team mentally, physically, and spiritually. You know, to be able to go out there and handle business the way we need. So motivation comes from, you know, myself and within this team, this organization, to be able to go out there and win games.
What's the back and forth been like with you and Shane and the other coaches just about what you liked, what you didn't like, what worked within the offense?
Yeah, I think us figuring out exactly, you know, what works best with, you know, whether our offensive linemen, you know, and our run game, our passing, our, you know, whether we have, you know, whether we spread it out, whether we pack it in tight, whether we stack, whether we get, you know, three tight ends in the game, whether we have, you know, two backs, three backs, you know, whatever the case may be, just figuring out what works best for that week, but also works best with our offense and being able to go out there and execute smoothly, especially going, you know, to a playoff team last year and going to their stadium and having to go execute, you know, early in the season and starting fast and going out there and, you know, try to win the game.
Caleb, you've got Romo's hurt. You've got Keenan who's not going to practice today. What's the challenge for you? Now you're going to different guys who you may need on Sunday, you know, the Tyler Scotts of the world.
Yeah.
The same or do you need to adjust?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be same or a little different. Obviously because Keenan, you know, Keenan's Keenan, Rome's Rome, but Tyler's Tyler. You know, DC DeAndre. Sorry, yeah. DC, he's DC. You know, they're all different in their own aspects, but you know that's why we have so many, you know, reps and things like that throughout training camp. You know, we're going to get a bunch of reps with a bunch of different guys today. Obviously, like you say, Keenan's out. You know, not practicing today. And so, you know, we're going to get reps with some other guys and things like that. And, you know, keep building that trust and belief and bond. You know, we've been building that since, you know, I got here around 3-4 months ago, whatever the case may be now. So, you know, us getting after it today in practice. You know, if there's things wrong, things with, you know, route, not being passive, make sure we're front facing and correcting small things that, you know, may affect us in games, whether it's a route depth, whether it's how I throw it, you know, just adjusting to those guys. You know, so I think obviously there's going to be a difference because they're, you know, Tyler's not Keenan, but Tyler is Tyler, Keenan's Keenan, so it's just adjusting to that.
Caleb, back to Chris's question. For as good of a season, great of a season that C.J. Stroud had last year, it took him a little bit before he became as good as he was. Are there parallels that you can draw just at the early part of your career as a rookie who's trying to do the same thing?
I more so was looking at, like, say, for instance, I was looking at the NFL this past weekend, and – and I'm looking at all the teams and things like that and realizing that, like I've said in many other interviews, that, you know, the job is hard, NFL is hard, you know, the defense is going to make it tough on you. So, you know, that's what they're going to do day or week in and week out. So, you know, comparing, you know, that to, you know, myself in his rookie year, you know, typically guys coming in, they have to figure it out and things like that. And so, you know, that's what we're doing right now. You know, I didn't have, obviously, the performance that I wanted to. So trying to figure it out as fast as possible and, you know, making sure that we're all on the same page, making sure that we're, you know, handling the things that we need to handle. Because, like I said, all the small things become a lot larger on game day. And so, you know, make sure we handle those things, myself included, and progress from there. But, you know, speaking on that, and getting back to what I was saying about the NFL, the guys in the NFL this week, quarterback wise, you go and watch, it wasn't necessarily week 16 for even the guys that, you know, have been playing ball for 10, 15 plus years. It's, you know, it's always going to be a little rough patch. So understanding that, maintaining your confidence, if not growing it, because obviously, you know, realizing that you can, you know, keep getting better. And so that's what we're doing. That's what I'm doing. And we're excited about it.
What are you expecting to see from the Texans defense?
Yeah, I expect them to be aggressive. I expect them to be, you know, excited to get out there, you know, be in front of their home crowd. I believe they played at the Colts last week. So, you know, get out there, be excited, you know, be aggressive, you know, running around, you know, playing well, playing together. You know, that's how they coach it. I would say is that, you know, they you know, play well, play together, you know, fly around, tackle, all these other things. And, you know, we get to go versus a great defense again this week. So we're excited. I know they're going to be out there excited. I know that the stadium's going to be rocking. So, you know, getting to practice, preparing for that. And, yeah, we're all excited. Go Bears. Awesome. Thank you, everybody.
Caleb Williams, he gave you the Go Bears. He'll come around.
I get it.
Bears.
Bear.
My notes, a couple things. First of all, the accountability of him, you know, what could you do better? He said he was hurrying his drops.
Yes. Wrote that down, too. I highlighted that, too.
They put it hurrying his drops. The other thing that I found interesting, first of all, he did globalize the quarterbacking around the league. Rough patch for the guys who've been doing it for 15 years, too. First week, rough patch, saying he sort of showed himself to be in good company with other quarterbacks who were struggling.
What's going on here?
Well, that tells me a couple things. It tells me, first of all, yeah, he watches other games, and he probably has coaches saying, hey, kid, you're not the only one.
Amen.
And talk to Joe Burrow and talk to Aaron Rodgers and talk to some of these future Hall of Famers about how they're doing. So I think that was part of it. But how about the quote, we didn't have anything on the D coordinator?
Yes. Denard Wilson.
Right?
Wilson. Williams.
I think it's Wilson.
Boy, we're having a bad
name. Yeah, it's been a bad name day.
You got it. You redeemed yourself on this one.
Thank you. Denard Wilson. And it's true because I went back to see if he had ever been a play caller.
No, not anywhere. No. We talked about that a little bit, I think, in one of my Bears hits because there was some mystery surrounding it. So I will allow for that.
And the stuff he'd done had been some offensive stuff in there, you know, passing game coordinator, then
batted balls.
Well, but there was a defensive backs coach. This is the only time he's been a defensive coordinator. So
yeah,
because if he had called plays in high school, they would have found him.
Right. Well, the only thing they had to go on was that he has had influence from Greg Williams. And we know Greg Williams likes to bring noise. And then who was there's the other, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, another guy that's a head coach now that used to be the head coach or defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals. Can't think of his name right now. But
Todd Bowles.
Yeah. Good job, studs.
Well, Greg Williams eventually got fired for being too aggressive.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
For being a piece.
There was some ways.
Also a jerk.
Yeah. Right. If you look at who influenced Denard Wilson, if that really is his name, you could kind of have an idea of what they were planning on doing.
Yes, it's his name.
If that is his name. If it's not Williams, then that's fine. If that is your true name, sir, I mean, we don't know this guy.
Did you see what the 414 texted? We have so little of that defensive coordinator, we don't even know his name.
Nice. The guy with the headset.
Nice. Well done. When we come back, we played a little bit earlier of Matt Eberflus on the Rich Eisen show. Well, there was something on there that seemed like too silly to be true, but apparently is true about a strange interaction that the two of them had in public.
Oh?
Well, yes, we'll play it next.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Mike C. Nelson. Now we know his name is Keith from the Progressive Becoming Your Parents commercials.
The White Sox. I can't believe they did more due diligence on hiring a play-by-play guy than a GM.
Middays 10 a.m. till 2.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable to root for that team.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
You're one of us.
You're one of us, Mike.
Got something for you if you're caller 6 to the Score contest line right now, 312-540-0670. Caller 6 wins a pair of tickets to see Jeff Lynn's ELO live at the United Center on Saturday, September 28th. We've got the afternoon show coming up in just a bit. It's going to be Matt Spiegel along with NBC5's Ruthie Polinsky. And before we finish up here, I thought we would bring you this that Studs found and thought it was fun. This is Matt Eberflus on the Rich Eisen show, and they tell a funny story about when they had dinner at the scouting combine.
I've got a split screen here, and I'd like to have some help. I know that's Ryan Gosling on the left. Who is that on the right on your screen? Coach, I don't understand.
What well, do you think? That's Rich Eisen right there.
Now, I came back from the combine. Okay, I came back from the combine and told this story, and the guys here in my studio did not believe me that somebody at a dinner that I was at in Indianapolis at the Combine came up to the table and asked somebody at the table if me was either Rich Eisen or Ryan Gosling.
Why would we believe that?
And I still don't believe that.
Who was sitting next to me directly to my left at this dinner? Who was that?
I was.
That's correct. Yes. So you can attest this actually happened, correct?
Yes. 100% true. What? That is 100%
like, Coach,
true.
Coach,
can I ask, how many bottles of red were flowing that day?
We were only a couple bottles in, so we were still okay. You know, we had eight people at the table, so we only had a glass or so.
That's right. Okay. We were fine. I mean, this is a working environment for all of us, TJ. Well, how dare you?
Well, I know it's a celebration. Come you're on. Together, you're hanging out, you know.
No, but do you have a question for Coach, Chris? Because clearly, you know. This happened. You understand what I'm saying?
Like,
this happened.
Like, how thick were the glasses on the person that asked? You know what I mean?
Coach.
He was of sound mind. He asked, he directly asked the question.
We dined out on that man for the rest of the night, figuratively. Wow. That was, dude, that was great. See, I'm glad we finally got you on here to confirm this, because my guys...
Of everybody else, Rich, we did ask him why in the heck would he ask that question.
Thank you. At least somebody did,
right?
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
good for Rich Eisen.
Yeah, I still don't quite understand it.
You mean the resemblance of any way, shape, or form?
Yeah,
no,
not really.
Ryan Gosling is hot. I mean, like, Rich Eisen is not a bad looking man, but no. He's a TV guy.
They don't look anything
but
alike.
But they don't.
At
he
all.
Doesn't really have much hair, Rich
maybe,
Eisen.
Maybe the guy meant to say a different name.
Maybe. Yeah, that's a mistake. I mean,
something is lost in translation.
More
there.
Power to Rich Eisen. He's one of the nicest guys in the big time national dudes. He is the goods. So good for him, but. Sorry, not buying it.
That's Mark Grody. He is a childless cat man. I am Dan Bernstein, and when we come back, we will have transition with Matt Spiegel and Ruthie Polinsky.
Oh, Paul. Score.